and I become King George. And I got all the rights then. And when I stand on the mountain and I say, do it, it gets done. If it don't get done, then I'll move on it. And that's the last thing in the world you want me to do.
You know, most of them don't assume you're actually going to kill them. Most of them assume it's a rape or something like that.
It was like anybody was fair game.
It did not matter. Blood is blood. It didn't matter if man, woman, child.
At first, they thought it was a pack of savage dogs. But when they looked closer, they knew it was humans.
We left the curse. We left the curse.
We lit the gate.
A fire and death.
We lit it.
Oh, this is not nice.
No.
Judgment.
No.
Judgment. Say it.
No, we lit the curse.
On her?
On her.
Future generations.
Future generations.
And welcome everyone back to the Evil Examine podcast. As you know, this trinity of episodes during our Unholy Trinity season is the launch, pretty much. So this is where, you know, I do the odd news, Katie does the Forbidden Five. You would have seen those the last 2 weeks, where we explored the Hat Man and evil experiments. Now, if you want to see that stuff, we put up some, we put up some pictures of the Hat Man on evilexamine.com, and also the Rhode Island Sea Monster video. And then we put the plug to Lucy's lovemaking book on there, as well as the Strange Experiments book, right? What was it called again?
It's called Electric Sheep. This one is called Electric Sheep by Alex Bowes. And also, Aaron licked a battery.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You can see
for
that.
For the first time.
First time ever.
On the Evil Examine website or on our YouTube channel. That will be available for your pleasure, I guess.
How was that experience, Aaron?
Very funny.
Tasted metallic and pain. It tasted like pain.
Okay.
Is that what you guys felt, too?
That sounds accurate.
Yeah. Yeah, in case you missed it, they all had previously licked a 9-volt battery, but it had never been something that I had the balls to do until I met them. And, you know, you guys pushed me forward to higher plan.
You earned your man card.
But if you guys like what we're doing, like this kind of stupid shit that we've been doing, you can, you know, send your suggestions to us. We'll do stuff.
Even if you don't like it and want us to do stupid shit.
So be sure to go to evilexamine.com. And remember, our Gmail is evilexamine@gmail.com. Now, you can feel free to send suggestions there, feedback, your own stories. If you send us a cool experience, paranormal or true crime or whatever, anything it could be, we'll put it on, dude. And we also use that same email, evilexamine@gmail.com, to accept any donations if anyone feels that they want to contribute to the show. So, and if you do, we'll put up... If you send us like a picture of yourself, we'll put you up on a mock profile on evilexamine.com and you can get shit on by a guest of your choice. So
that's a hell of an opportunity.
And I just want to also quickly plug my book, Dark Assembly, if you like extreme horror. It's getting some pretty cool reviews, and I appreciate you guys reading it too. That's really cool. But it's available in ebook and paperback with 20 horrifying... sleazy illustrations, and yeah, so far it's pretty well recommended. There's going to be some other reviews coming up that are going to advertise for it and also plug the Evil Examine podcast, so we'll give you guys some updates on that and when you can expect it. But I think that's the housekeeping, and now I think it's time for us to get into the evil entry.
So guys, when you think of serial killers,
with high counts, like body counts. Who do you think? Who pops in your head? Aaron?
Well, though, honestly, because you've done all, like that, the Beast of Columbia, that was one. Most of the stuff you've covered, I feel like, on the show has had body, some of them have had body counts in the hundreds.
Yeah. Okay. Katie?
I default to Green River Killer, who probably his body count's probably like in the 40s or something, but it's 40s. Like one of those ones you don't know for sure, I guess.
Or Harold Shipman, too. He was the guy, the angel of death, that the killed doctor, people right? in hospitals. Like they said he could have done like close to 1,000 or something.
Oh, okay. John?
I don't know. I don't know. Think I know enough about serial killer body counts. Like I know their names, but how many they all killed, I don't remember.
Okay. That's good. That's good. It sounds like you're healthy out of all of us. And
Big Daddy?
For me, it's the the story. Was a super killer?
Oh, super shit. Killer, yeah. He killed a lot of people.
Because that was like an action movie, too.
So. Yeah, Super Killer. And then the other one that you did, I forgot his name. Was it a Brazilian guy?
Killer Petey?
Yeah, him, Petey. Yeah. Yeah, he's my favorite. I really, really liked that episode.
Well, I think this guy that I'm going to cover, he eclipses the other... Well, maybe not the Angel of Death.
But
because if he's at, 1,000 kills?
But his kills are... just very like they seem like they're more painless, and I think if you factor in macabre, you know, that is probably far outweighed with what you're going to get into.
Okay. Yeah, it's definitely not painless. Let's say that. But yeah, today's evil entry is a tale not too many folks have heard about, even though in my humble opinion it should undeniably serve as a bloody bookmark or reminder in the pages of history for pure evil incarnate. This story will chronicle the life and death of Peter Nears, a man, if that's an accurate description, who killed over 500 people over the course of his 15-year spree. And during that time, he checked off rape, pillaging, murder, infanticide,
yeah, I think.
Cannibalism and black magic off his bucket list. These repulsive acts, which all made him somewhat of a folkloric figure in the 16th century Europe and a real-life boogeyman.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
I'm getting chills. I'm getting the goosebumps. R.L. Stein.
That's a good opener.
So, if you guys are ready, let's begin with the end is Nears. Peter Nears was born in 15th century Germany and grew up with his poor German family, seeing firsthand the struggles of classism, witnessing how peasants like himself were treated in the most demoralizing and inhumane way. It was a life that was filled with oppression and enforced taxes that no one could realistically afford, that filled many who lived in the area of Alas with resentment and anger towards the wealthy and elite. This led to a constant outbreak of insurrection by the peasants, all which were stifled violently and swiftly by the established authority. Seeing this growing up instilled Peter's head with the idea that power is the only thing that matters, and asking for what you want or what you deserve gets you nowhere and nothing. And also nobody listens, because action is the only way to be heard. And the more angry and violent, the better.
Very topical.
Yeah, we've heard that before, right? Violent upbringings.
Oh, yeah.
It's
the seeds of chaos.
Definitely.
Yo, it's just not fair. You know?
Man, I'm feeling kind of repressed. But yeah, that was just the way of the land to him. This outlook would help shape Peter's future criminal career as a part-time bandit and a murderer. So, after the revolution of 1525, which amplified the rural uprising of the period and created more fear and misery across the land, as the high class retaliated with the upheaval with barbaric and display barbaric displays of brutality and attempt to break the peasants. This constant state of war was a perfect backdrop for the uneducated Peter to find power, prestige, and wealth in the dark underworld. It was here that his past affirmations were confirmed. With this newfound power, he had to answer to no one. He became a highwayman, aka a medieval bandit. And in those days, roads leading out of towns often led to dense woods and mountains and were filled with countless shadowy hiding places for villains lurking to hijack a carriage or rob unsuspected travelers. Peter was the leader of such a gang of around 24 men who lingered in the outskirts of the city, lying in wait for those who they deemed worthy of raiding. This corrupt network of criminals roamed the countryside, always changing their order and numbers and gathering together for larger jobs and then splintering off to smaller factions for more targeted endeavors and making it hard for the authorities to track them.
He's like Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Is he like giving it away to other people though?
No, I mean like not that part of it.
He's like a corrupted Robin Hood.
It's like when you think about this era though, you know, like absent of technology, it's just, it feels like you could get away with
murder.
Yeah. I just always love those scenes in like TV shows and movies where they like approach the carriage and surround it and then like take their shit. I love that.
That's pretty much what happens.
Yeah.
But usually they will leave a bloody trail behind them.
Oh God.
They didn't like leaving witnesses.
Jesus.
Mm. So for 11 long years, Peter and his murder junkie gang had terrorized the border of Germany and France. That is until they were apprehended in Gersbach, Germany in 1577, and they were tortured into submission by the authorities. Peters admitted to 75 murders, including the death of many local women who had previously seemed to mysteriously disappear out of thin air. It was a relief that that they finally had such a vile man in custody, and the entire community breathed a communal sign of relief. But just when it seemed like justice would be served and they would deliver a swift and brutal punishment, Peter managed to escape his confines and disappear like a shadow into the night, only to resurface later in his final form.
Oh my God! That sounds terrible.
Yeah. So he was just dipping his toes with 75 murders at that time.
Jesus.
So Peter began to assume legendary status after escaping his torturers the first time. Not only had he admitted to being a straight-up serial killer to their face with no fear, but he somehow managed to dissolve into the countryside where rounding up a criminal was no easy task. It was during this godless tour that Nears supposedly gathered his mates and took up allegiance with the only force greater than himself, the devil.
Oh, shit.
It is said that Peter and his men allegedly had a meeting with Satan and were were offered his blessings.
How do you, like, do you have to, like, text him to get him there? Like,
they had a Google Teams meeting and
well, decided on location. The meeting with Satan is, like, I feel like popular throughout history, right? Isn't there, like, a lot of musicians that supposedly.
Yeah.
You have to meet him in the woods at night,
that's,
right?
Yeah. Like, that's like the big leagues right there.
Yeah. I mean, he has to be out of sight. You know?
Like, he won't come to you. He won't go to a gas station.
No. And you got to sacrifice stuff, usually, to get him to come out.
Right.
It's like a terrible friend to have.
Right? So, yeah, Satan supposedly offered his blessings and his financial support to continue.
He's an okay friend.
Right? He's not bad. Financial support. To continue carrying out their diabolical plans. Even supposedly blessing Peter in particular with considerable supernatural powers. As a result of this meeting, Peter supposedly developed the power to shapeshift and take on the form of an animal or an inanimate object at will. This tremendous ability carried out with a steep price, though. What do you think the price was?
Maybe he would have to go to hell. Okay. At the end of it.
Yeah, less classic.
I think he would have to like smell like whatever he turned into for an extra couple days.
When did they invent dildos?
Yeah, like his soul.
Right?
Maybe like he became like one of those people that can't use their penis.
Man, you guys are just thinking
impotent.
Impotent. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you.
That's too basic, guys.
Which is worse? So, I don't know. I think the last one's pretty bad. I guess.
So apparently the steep price that Peter will have to pay was a need for a constant supply of steady infant fetuses in his possession.
Damn, that was my next guess.
Yeah.
So like he would go to like Planned Parenthood.
He'll go straight to the source. But that in turn will give him renown, vigor, and a renewed life. It was also believed that he used the flesh and the fat of these infants to make magic candles that, when lit, will allow him to silently break into homes at night and without waking the owners at all. So using the flesh of the innocent in this way, he was invisible from the eyes of those who would hunt him down.
That is the most fucked up thing I've ever heard. Baby flesh candles.
Yep.
That help you sneak in, break and
he's
enter.
He's making baby flesh candles. What does he care about sneaking into the house? Just go in and kill everybody.
Well, I think it's an advantage, though, to him. Because it, like, blocks them from hearing him, right?
Or seeing him. Yeah. You can turn invisible.
Oh.
You could sneak pardon. In and just kill everybody. I don't understand.
Well, but there's a little more risk than that. You never know if there's, like, a
I think
a
he liked night, the excitement.
Right, like think about a big knight with a fucking sword at his bed, old Broomhilda, sort of thing.
Yeah,
it reduces risk. It sounds like to me.
It sounds yeah.
Seems logical.
The magic candles. All of his unnatural powers relied on the infant death. Who must
I'm just imagining a Yankee Candle flavor called Infant Death now.
Right? Thank they you. Have vagina flavor. Scented candles.
Oh, that's Gwyneth.
Yeah, so.
Isn't it, it's called My Vagina? Well, that was the name of it, right? Or My Pussy, something like
something
that.
Something like that, yeah.
That's crazy.
It really depends on the person, though. How does that's Gwyneth Paltrow that makes those candles. It's not like
yeah.
Well, but
Amy
let
Schumer.
Me ask you, though, in fairness.
Oh, God.
How does she get the smell of her pussy into the candle?
No, it's just she took a different flavor she liked and put them in. And what? That's the closest thing.
Does she have to house the candles inside her a few days before?
She does not. These are terrible questions.
Like, I mean, in fairness, she should reveal her.
Yeah. So, yeah, all the babies must die on his behalf. So a warrant was issued in 1579 for the capture of Peter, stating there was some things about him that did not change. However, he was known as always carrying a great deal of money, two loaded pistols, a broadsword, and people who actually had a glimpse of the chameleon described him as a rather old man with two crooked fingers and a long scar on his chin. I mean, back in the day, that could have been anyone, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
People are...
The good old days. People were all mangled back then, right?
Yeah. The unholy career of Peter Nears would finally come to an end in 1581 when he stopped at a lodge called the Bells in Newmarket. According to the Germanic ballad, because they made a couple of songs about this guy during the years that he was rampaging. Peter was a person of considerable notoriety at this point, and his description had been keenly observed by all the people in the area. It was in an attempt to lay low, Peter rested at a few days at the inn until he finally felt it was safe to visit a public bathhouse for a quick wash-up. Believing he was still unrecognized, Peter asked the innkeeper to hold on to his personal bag for safekeeping, claiming that it was particularly valuable. To the perpetrator, it appeared to be nothing more than a small leather pouch with something soft inside, which he received it casually. But as Peter laid soaking in his bath for a few moments, low whispers broke out around him as people began to take note. Other guests whispered among themselves, could that be Peter Nears? He looks just like him.
But so is his face like on a poster or something in this
probably
era?
They probably had illustrations of his face.
Yeah. And they had the description too, right? Mm-hmm. The scar on his chin.
The crooked fingers.
He sounds like the devil.
Right. You know?
Like he sounded like his appearance.
What was the soft thing in the bag, though?
What's in the bag?
We'll find out. But exhausted from his recent exploits, Peter was oblivious to all their attention until it was too late for him. Immediately, two locals slipped out of the bathhouse and went to discover where Peter was staying. Located in the inn, they informed the manager that he was likely housing a serious fugitive with a gnarly reputation who was at this very moment in the nearby bath. Fearing the worst, the innkeeper pulled out the small leather bag belonging to Peter and opened it, never imagining what he would have found.
Fuck.
What do you think he found?
A baby.
Yeah. A baby?
Feet is some sort
I
of
think I know, thing. But that might be because you and me talked about it, so I'm going to hold off.
Okay.
Okay. I kind of was thinking it was like a baby too, but like Kentucky Fried Baby or something, like something he's snacking on, because you said cannibalism, but we haven't heard it yet. So I feel like this is where it comes in. We'll see.
Okay, that's solid.
Yeah, I think it's probably a baby.
Probably a baby. Inside the bag were tiny cut-off hands and dried hearts of fetuses violently removed from their mother's womb, the once-living tissue that fueled his wickedness. Instantly recognizing these grim items to be the work of black magic, the town people quickly moved on Peter, sending 8 strong men to seize him. Given his notoriety, many folks were surprised how easy it was to actually apprehend the criminal. Others knew the story well. Believed Peter was only caught because he briefly separated himself from his foul bag of magic, thereby rendering him visible and mortal. It seemed the end had finally reached Nears, and he readily identified himself and admitted to killing an astounding 544 people at this point.
How, like, did he keep track of that? That's a very specific number.
Right.
He might be doing, like, you know when you do 4 lines and then you put a 5th one over it? Maybe he has, like, a piece of parchment.
Oh, yeah, like, that on scratched it. Off.
In blood.
So, yeah.
He just counts on little baby hands that he has.
How many baby hands do I have?
So he escaped the first time, but they made
he
sure.
He is a dick. For some reason, like, I was picturing him as, like, a magician instead of, like, a sacred bond with Satan black magic thing. So now I don't like him anymore. I liked him when I thought he was a magician.
I love stories of people who make deals with the devil, though. Just going back to that, I remember this old one that I think it's like a local folklore in New Hampshire called The Devil and Jonathan Moulton. And in this folklore story, Jonathan Moulton makes a deal with the devil and says, okay, like, I'll sell my soul to you if you fill up my boots with gold. So he hangs his boots over like a fireplace. And then the devil's like, deal. But the devil's filling up the boots, and he just keeps filling them up, and the devil's like, yo, these boots should have been filled by now, you know, and just tons of gold. And then he finds out the soles of the boots have been cut out, and that all, like, the extra gold, like, he just poured even more than 2 boot fills of gold. and it just, like, goes, like, under the fireplace. And so basically he played the devil.
Oh, that's ill.
That's what Brendan Fraser did, too.
Oh, did he? Was that?
I remember very that similar. Movie.
He did something like that too.
He got switches, yeah. Like
bedazzled.
Three wishes.
Yeah. Oh, that one's a wish one though.
Oh, that's Monkey Bones.
No, I think was it Bedazzle?
I don't know.
The devil was like this British
Elizabeth.
Chick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good one. But yeah. He couldn't escape his face.
How
this time.
How do you feel about Brendan Fraser?
I love Brendan Fraser.
Do you think he's a good actor?
What
you
happened
like the
to
mummy?
Him? What happened to him?
I don't think he's a good actor, but
he got fat.
Oh, he got fat.
His career though.
He's fine.
He did the Looney Tunes movies, and that destroyed his career. Or something.
I always liked him. But I like George of the Jungle. That shit was funny.
Did you like Encino Man?
Yeah.
With Pauly Shore.
Oh yeah, I did.
I love Weasel. Is he still around?
Yeah. But he's depressed. Because, like, he can't be young and party and make movies no more.
Do you think he's seeing the Hat Man?
Well, I think so.
I would.
He would make a deal with the devil.
Who, Pauly Shore?
I believe it, yeah.
Try to get some fame again.
But he couldn't escape this time. They made sure of it. And they actually made it into a spectacle. The executioners gave Peter a taste of his own medicine by delivering a specially violent death upon him. For 3 days, he was tortured. On the first day, the flesh was skinned from his body, and hot oil was poured in all the wounds.
Oh, my God.
Do you ever see the movie Ichi the Killer?
No, you told me about
called
that.
Flaying.
Did you see that, John? Mm-hmm. Ichi the Killer?
No.
I picture a potato peeler for that.
Like in that movie, ooh, they hang a dude up by hooks, like in his flesh, like, and he's just like levitating in a room, and he takes a hot pan of oil and dumps it on his back, you know, and his flesh is all pulled up because it's hanging on hooks, so it's just sizzling like, on the whole spine. It's good stuff.
So yeah, that was just the start though. So they poured the hot oil all over his wounds. On the second day, his feet were greased up and held over a burning coil. And slow, like, lightly, like, burning. It's not, like, going out of control. But just enough so it could roast his feet while he was still alive.
I feel like I would get hungry.
Watching that?
No, smelling it.
Maybe. I don't know how human flesh smells like burning, but
I bet it stinks.
Probably.
Especially like
human hair,
if it's any of our friends.
Human hair stinks when it's burned.
That's a real bad smell.
Yeah. And finally, on the third day,
I'm sorry, not to cut you off, but it's also never. It's never something good never happens when you smell burnt hair. There's always something bad that's happened.
Yeah, like your hair. That's pretty bad.
Like you've been lit on fire. Like,
I had a friend that used to smoke weed in the bathroom, and then to like deceive the parents of what the smell was, would burn hair afterwards to make it be like, "Oh, I'm not smoking weed. I'm just burning my hair in here." And like, they're that's like, "Are you okay?"
That raises more questions than weed would. Fucking weirdo.
You go see the therapist. I gotta get some fucking weed.
So finally, on the third day, Peter was strapped to the breaking wheel. Do you guys know what that is?
Is that the Catherine wheel? Similar to that?
Let's find out.
The breaking wheel. So basically, they're strapped to it, and they just fucking hammer out your limbs and break all your bones in your body and shit. One by one. So that's basically what the wheel is. But, it was a huge torture device. Break all the bones, crush them, usually to death. But Peter didn't die.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Is it now? That's not to his benefit, I take it.
Definitely not.
He wished he was.
So somehow, maybe due to one of his deals with the devil, he was still alive after the breaking wheel had crushed his entire body and bones were sticking out of his skin. After that, they're like, fuck it. And they had the executioner hack off Peter's limbs and quarter him to finally rid the world of the monster that was Peter Nears.
Oh, they quartered. So they brave-hearted him, huh?
Yeah. So Flayed oiled him up, lit his feet on fire, roasted, slow roasted, and then used the wheel, broke all his bones, and then...
That's the way I want to go.
Ripped his limbs one by one. So that was fitting for a person that committed all these atrocities.
Yeah, he definitely deserved it.
Yeah, I don't... It's brutal, but I don't feel bad for him.
But he got caught in the bathhouse. Was that where he got caught?
Yeah, because he separated.
Like, all he was doing was trying to, like, relax, and that could have helped him. That could have had him turn a new leaf over if he just finally got that relaxation.
And then he
assuming he never had a bath before in his entire life.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, he would have turned
like
everything
the
around.
OG carjacker / terrible murderer.
Yeah, he would have gone back and snacked on some baby fingers and shit.
What a sick man.
Isn't that the Brother Lynch Hung song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guess what daddy's bringing home for supper?
I think you showed me that one.
That one's awesome. It's called Return of the Baby Killer. Classic. The Season of the Sick album, released in 1995, is an underrated album. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people didn't hear it. And it's like his flow is a lot like almost like a better version of Snoop Dogg sometimes.
Yeah, he has that fast spinning flow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what do you guys think of Peter? Peter
Nears. I think he's a piece of fucking shit.
Sounds like a dick.
Yeah, he's a...
There's a guy like a gang like that in the United States. But I read about it like a month ago and I can't remember. But it's the same deal. They were like highwaymen. And they had like a... It was in Ohio, I think.
In the U.S.? Like it's going on now?
No. This was back in like around the Revolutionary War.
Oh, right, okay.
After. And they had like a hideout out in the woods in Ohio. And they lived there for like... a long time, but they killed like 30, 40, 50 people and over like a bunch of years.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It was a dude and his brother. And they had like an entire family.
Is that, that's the...
We had one of those...
Did you do that on one of the shows?
Well, no. We did it on a post. You did it, actually.
Yeah, it was a post, like a snippet of...
Well, here, since... Hold on. Actually, John, I'm glad you brought that up because me and Gina had been working on a series of different posts that we put up for the extra evil content on evilexamined.com and the social media. So as a little bonus to you guys, to give a little extra during this grandstanding launch of the evil entry, mm-hmm. Gene, you're going to go through the Harp brothers.
Yeah.
That was their names. And then I got one other little bonus item.
Yeah, and you're right. They're very similar to Peter's story. But these were two brothers. The Harp brothers were not only America's first recorded serial killers, but two of the most brutal ones. So in the 1770s, these bloodthirsty murder pioneers were set loose on the western frontier with approximately 39 confirmed kills, possibly more. Big Harp and Little Harp. Their signature move was to disembowel their victims and then fill their chest cavity with stones. They used the bountiful opportunities presented by the chaos from the American Revolution to steal, rape, and murder. They were also indiscriminate when it came to who they killed, many times killing men, women, children, or entire families when they felt provoked. One historic account cites them killing a girl and cutting her body into 1-inch strips like beef jerky. Another detail...
Sounds appetizing.
Another details, Big Harp killing his own daughter out of reflex when she wouldn't stop crying, smashing her head against a wall, killing her instantly.
I mean, we've all been there.
No. No one has ever.
And,
no one ever?
Yeah, the long arm of the law caught them, though. So on August 24th, 1799, They were finally tracked down, and Big Harp was the first to go after being shot twice and then hit with a tomahawk while he was still conscious. An avenging husband and father, Moses Stegall, sawed off his head while he was still alive.
Nice.
As revenge.
Did they fill him with rocks?
That would have been a nice touch.
It's like a lot of extra work. I don't know why you would.
I don't know why.
Or are they filling him with the rocks while they're alive? It's crazy sounding.
Get rid of the body, maybe.
Well, you think they'll survive?
Oh, to sink it, right? Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Little Harp got away until 1804 when he was captured after running with a loyalist gang under a different alias and then hung for his crime.
Sounds like a rapper. Little Harp.
Little Harp.
And then he has Big a Harp. Different alias when he's with different people.
Yo,
different
Little crews. Harp gonna lay that gangster shit.
So yeah, that's the Harp brothers. Another fucking gang of... I think they ran with a gang too. Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, and... So if you like that content, that's some of our extra evil stuff that we've been putting up. We try to condense it overall, but that was one. And we're going to give you one other bonus. Giles de Reyes, who... he was birthed into the... I feel like this is appropriate because, like... It interacts with some of the same stuff you're talking about in your story. You know, his infatuation with, like, occult-like stuff. And, you know, just the barbarity of his crimes. Mm-hmm. But De Reyes was birthed into the miserable Middle Ages in 1404. His legendary military career in association with Joan of Arc during the Hundred Years' War burned his place into the history books. However, his unspeakable deeds off of the battlefield easily eclipse any of his noble societal contributions. His childhood was marred with the grim moments which left both of his parents dead by 1415. His grandfather would look after him and watch him evolve into a volatile and fearless fighter. After his times in combat came to a slow, it was time to play with all that he'd accumulated along the way. So while De Reyes fiscally was quite well off from his time as a soldier, he acted irresponsibly, pissing his wealth away impulsively. He built multiple castles and indulged to excess with no sense of control, as evidenced by him commissioning hundreds to reenact moments from his glory days on the battlefield. So he would just fucking pay... He would pay peasants to reenact, like, his shining moments.
Bum fights.
Pretty much. You ever watch that DVD?
No.
It's disturbing. Did you ever watch that, Brian? I feel like you had that on once.
Did I? Maybe. I watched a lot of weird shit, so that's a good chance. I'm not sure. I don't remember.
You plead the fifth.
Didn't we watch it together?
I feel like we might.
Watched that shit together.
Well, but more concerning than his whimsical spending were the rumors that began to spread throughout the regions which surrounded his castles. It was no coincidence that children had begun to vanish as De Reyes' private affairs became a drowning pool of the perverse and forbidden. Mm-hmm. He began to dabble in alchemy and in the occult. It was rumored that De Reyes had sold his soul to the devil before aligning himself with an Italian man named Francois Peralti. Sure, I'm saying it right. The pair together entered into a shadowy relationship seeking to summon a demon named Baron, Donald Trump's son, who would be able to funnel them endless riches. Isn't that always the fucking promise, right? Though? The promise riches. Of endless riches
and power. Like, they already sold their soul, but they're still trying to, like, negotiate more beyond this? Like, that seems stupid to me.
Wait, what is it?
They already negotiated with the devil, but now they're, like, trying for more.
Oh, like, this demon baron,
he's
claiming that he'll give them, like, a wealth. Like, because even though he was well off, he was so irresponsible with his money that he needed more. And so that's why he and this Italian man contacted this demon And it says, after a trio of failing spells, Perlotti claimed that their magic was ineffective because they needed human sacrifices. During the time, it wasn't uncommon for young boys to become a page or for a famous knight. Parents wouldn't think twice about never seeing their offspring again. And he began, unfortunately for these young boys, he began cutting off the heads of the children and having his servants in the castles place them on stakes, only to evolve into satanic altar sacrifices. While he would avoid arrest for his crimes against children initially, in 1440, after kidnapping a priest, he would eventually confess to the horrors under the threat of torture. And boy, you know it's true if they're going to torture him. Like, to me, that never makes sense. There's that great line in Reservoir Dogs where he's, like, fucking beating the cop, you know? And he's like, if you fucking beat this prick long enough, he'll tell you he started the goddamn fucking Chicago Fire. You know what I mean? He's like, it doesn't matter. He's gonna say anything eventually.
Just to make you stop.
You know? It says, it's believed that Darius could have been history's first serial killer, mutilating as many as 100 children. He took pleasure in hanging them upside down by ropes and hooks and masturbating on their stomachs and thighs while they cried. One of the more disturbing quotes recorded during his confession was when he said, children were dead. He kissed them, and those who had the most handsome limbs and heads, he held up to admire them. And as he had their bodies he cruelly cut open and took delight in the sight of their inner organs. And very often, when children were dying, he sat on their stomachs and took pleasure in seeing them die as he laughed. Darius had his servants gradually burn small pieces of the children in the fireplace in his room as a disposal method. In the end, he was charged with heresy, sodomy, and the murder of 100 children before being hung, then set on fire. However, it's important to note that there's still debate today over the exact totality of his crimes and whether he, in fact, received a Christian burial after his execution. We can all hope they lit him ablaze, though. But there is a lot of dispute. There's this movement online of researchers that say he didn't do all this shit and that this was kind of like a witch hunt. I don't know if any of you guys are familiar with him, but I feel like, John, you might have heard of him before.
No, it sounds familiar, yeah. But
you said he was with Joan of Arc?
Yeah, like supposedly he was like her like right-hand man through that Hundred Years' War and everything.
That's sick.
But yeah, any thoughts on this child killer? This medieval... Another deal with the devil. Brian, would you do
it?
Fuck
that guy.
It's always kids.
Would you do it if it allowed you to seek out your darkest desires?
No.
No. You're good.
Simple now, yeah.
You're good being a simple man, you know?
Nah. Fuck that shit.
Well, I mean your desires, not his.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. I just wouldn't make a deal with the devil.
What if he was, like, cool, though, or... Like, no. if he had Brennan a similar...
Brendan Fraser did it.
What if he had look how he ended up.
No. That's all you got to say. Problem solved.
I hope he's not listening.
We'll have him on.
But you know who didn't? Keanu Reeves did not make a deal with the devil. And look at him.
We watched Devil's Advocate recently.
That's all you need to know is Keanu versus Brendan Fraser.
Yo.
It's always Keanu. That's a saint.
Have you guys seen
Constantine?
Yeah, he was Constantine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you seen Devil's Advocate?
Of course. With De Niro?
Pacino.
Pacino.
And who's the girl in that? Is it Charlize Theron?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I seen that movie.
That movie's... they just put it back on Netflix. Yeah, we saw that. Watched it. No, it's really good. It's so good. I remember it freaking me out when I was younger, like seeing their faces change and shit. Like, the believe it or not, the special effects hold up in that movie.
Okay, I have to rewatch it. I've been thinking about rewatching it because I've seen it come back to Netflix.
Do it.
I might.
Yeah. But that's a little taste of the extra evil segments. I think we might have at least like 30 of these up or something.
Yeah.
So if you guys like those little you know, I don't know, 500 words or less write-ups about bizarre, weird stuff. And it's not just true crime, right? We've done stuff on
everything.
Strange people.
Sci-fi shit.
Sci-fi, war stuff.
Plastic surgery.
Plastic surgery, yep.
Everything. So be sure to check it out, www.evilexamine.com. Any final thoughts before we wrap this one up?
Making a deal with the devil is not worth it, guys.
I think that's safe to say.
It's a steep price.
Yeah, but Evil Examine will do it. Devil, if you're listening, we'll do it.
Yeah. Holla. And what? We'll be back next week. But in the meantime, you know, email us if you have anything to share at evilexamine@gmail.com. And one more thank you to John the Skeptic and Daddy Bass for joining us during the launch episode. This was magical, this launch trio of episodes.
I felt it.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. All right, guys.
they're extra-dimensional beings that they are not what they claim to be.
Your life with dignity. Don't lay down with tears and agony. Living, you're looking at death. It only looks like living is much, much more difficult.
You know, most of them don't assume you're actually going to kill them. Most of them assume it's a rape or something like that.
It was like anybody was fair game.
It did not matter. Blood is blood. It didn't matter if man, woman, child.
At first, they thought it was a pack of savage dogs. But when they looked closer, they knew it was humans.
We left the curse. Say it! We left the curse.
We did the gate.
A fire and death.
We did it again.
Oh, this is not nice. Judgment! Say it!
Ah, we left the curse!
On her?
On her!
Future generations.
Future generations!